to make sure it's recording.
I help staring at the baby while you play. You can at least look this way.
Okay.
All right. Want to call our meeting to order. This is February 18th at 4:01 p.m. Those in attendance, we have Cammy Thorpe, Brendan Thorpe, Brett Palmer, Daryl Danderson, Joe White, Jake Clegg, Brock Griffith, board members, Neil Smart, board member. First item on the agenda, discussion of water user rate fee and impact fee increased timeline.
All right, for the timeline that we're proposing, we're required to post a 30-day notice for our water impact fee increase, which has been posted to the public website and to our website. We've also posted the hearing on our website for our water, sewer, and storm drainage user rate increase. They are required to have 10-day notice. However, in addition to the notices that we've posted on our website, we are proposing to send out a letter to each of our customers here within the next couple weeks, letting them know that the public hearing is going to be on March 6th to consider our rates. The water and storm drain user rate is proposed to become effective on April 1st and payable on July 31st for our quarterly customers. And the commercial customer rate will be effective April 1st and payable on May 31st for commercial customers, assuming that the proposed rates that the board is looking to adopt is approved at our March 18th meeting. Any questions on that? Okay.
Item number three, update on sewer treatment alternatives.
All right, I'll turn the time over to Brendan. He can kind of update us on where we're at.
So we've gone through a handful of alternatives that I've mentioned before. There is another alternative that we haven't really explored yet, but this is what this is. I just wanted to update you on this as well. Joe will be interested in this. We had a meeting, as you know, with Joe White a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, to talk about service, whether that's perpetual or temporary, and what the particulars are about that. One of the veins that we've been going down is to eliminate the need for nutrient removal and look at total containment in one form or another. What would that look like? The obvious advantage of that is that you eliminate all the cost of the phosphorus removal and dealing with upgrading the lagoons with a higher aeration system to remove ammonia. And so without a release, you don't have, well, theoretically you don't have to treat for those. So we looked at a couple of options. I'm gonna show you, I won't get in deep into the numbers, but I'll give you an overview of how we got to these numbers, because they're actually quite surprising when we went through them. I was gonna say something else, now I forgot. So the lagoons here are comprised, I think, about 70, well, we have about 78 acres of area right here in these cells that are currently in the chain of your treatment. And then we've got another 26, 27 acres of these overflow ponds. We call this the rib. It's about 121 acres of area. And the part that's wet and that we get the most use out of is about 38 acres. So there were two approaches in this scenario. One was to expand the lagoons to make them essentially to eliminate all treatment and just make complete total lagoons, facultative lagoons. Nature does its thing. You have enough space, you can hold all the wastewater and let the bacteria do its job. I guess what I was going to tell you is, as we're talking about this, this is all contingent upon the state agreeing and permitting these approaches. We have a meeting tomorrow with them to discuss these options. So with that said, the first option was to look at expanding your lagoons and creating lagoons. Those have certain requirements that you have to abide by. One of those is to reduce your seepage rate down to 1 × 10⁻⁶ centimeters per second of seepage into the ground. So that's something.
You got a line.
It's almost nothing. So when you categorize a system of as a lagoon or as a treatment lagoon, then you have to abide by that. That means you have to put an impermeable liner on it, or put a bentonite clay and then test it and get lots of impermeability. So up here, you'll see a couple of parameters that are in color. All these things in color are basically the takeaways, but in each one of these charts I'm going to show you, we've got, it's just a mass balance of a spreadsheet. What comes in goes out, and that's how you get your size, right? So we have, right here we've got evaporation, evapotranspiration. It's what the plants consume, and it's what evaporates. That's evapotranspiration. So that's dependent entirely on surface area. The more surface area you have, the more evaporation rate you get. But when you sum all that up, you see you get about 46 inches per month. And then over here you have precipitation. So it evaporates, but it also rains, and you get about 17 inches of rain annually. So this is an outflow, this is an inflow, and seepage is also an outflow, and you have your influent coming in, and essentially that's it. There's no other avenues to come in or out of your system. And so when you balance a spreadsheet with all of those monthly rates coming in and going out, you can convert everything to a depth. And you can see the fluctuation of the depth in a system based on the amount of surface area. And so with all these spreadsheets, they just toggled between the inputs of these peach-colored cells and toggle the area of land that you would need to mass balance everything to as close to zero. So the water depth beginning of the year has to basically equal the water depth at the end of the year. The reason this is so big is just because we're dealing with acres, and if we wanted this to go to zero, it'd have to have 15 decimal places past the area here. So this is as close as I can get with a whole acre. So based on 2.7 million gallons of influent a day, you need about 823 additional acres of land for a lagoon with that seepage rate. So that was a little surprising to me. I added 15% just because you got dikes and everything else. So about 1,000 acres. Okay, 3.5 million gallons, same exercise.
1,200 acres.
Yeah, 12. Pretty close to 1,200 acres. Okay. After that didn't seem reasonable or feasible. So Brett and I got together and we looked at some additional parameters of how, because we know that the lagoon, your system works, and there are at least 4 months out of the year where you're not discharging, so things seem to have a mass balance. So we pulled all of the discharge flows during the year that go out at your discharge locations, and then there are 4 months out of the year where you have zero discharge, so things go to the rib. So kind of reverse engineering this, I wanted to calibrate the system. So it took 1.1 million gallons a day in your existing system based on that map that I showed you, that wetted area. 4 months out of the year, I took 33% of the area to represent 4 months out of the year of that. And then plugged in all of your discharges and calibrated the system to see if what you should need with that seepage rate. And you actually need another 268 acres roughly, theoretically, to abide by all the math, by the rules. Oh. Okay, so that's not what happened. So what is happening is, in the red up there, I forced the area to be zero and changed your seepage rate to see effectively what seepage rate, mathematically you have all over your system, your lagoons and your rib and everything. And it was about a multiple of 7.5. So mathematically speaking, theoretically speaking, you have about on the order of about 7.5 times greater seepage than the state standard. So what does that mean? I guess it just means what it means. To put it in perspective, that is a quarter of an inch per day. So over your entire surface area, that would equal a quarter of an inch a day of seepage. Does that sound reasonable? Seems reasonable, right? For an old system built in the 70s, you probably have some loose areas and things like that. So it seems reasonable. It passed the smell test. I don't know if it passes it for you, but it seemed reasonable. Okay. So what does that mean? Well, it means that if what you could do, because this is essentially what seepage rate you might expect from a non-lagoon system like a land application, where you don't have to have the tight impermeable areas, and you put it into something like you have now, your rib, and you let it evaporate and seep into the ground, you call it land application. So this alternative assumes that we run with that representative seepage rate, and how much land would you need if you upgraded your lagoons to what you had planned to upgrade them before, 2.7 million gallons a day with the BioLac system upgrade. We go back to what we were going to do before, forget about nutrient removal, and put it all to land application at that seepage rate. That makes sense?
I'll ask you, I've got questions, but
okay.
I think I can wait.
Okay. So if we do that, this is the calibration chart, and then we go to this one, applying that 7.5 times seepage rate at quarter inch a day. At 2.7 million gallons a day, how much additional land do you need? To upgrade to 2.7 million gallons with land application, you're about 200 acres. But right here is a little small text. I'll try to explain it. You have 121 acres You're using 38. You have 121 acres, but in the model, you're only using 38 acres. And of that 38 acres, you're only using it 4 months out of the year. So you're really using about 12 acres, equivalent of 12 acres. So if you use the full potential of that rib every month of the year, then you need about, oh, that's pretty small. You need about 100 extra acres. Boils it down. If you can get full capacity out of that rib, you can. If you get another roughly 100 acres, you could possibly make this fit and work. For kicks and giggles, at 3.5 million gallons, you need about 200 acres. You need another 300 acres, but again, you got 121 acres. You're using 12 of your 121, so you subtract that out. You need about a couple hundred acres to get up to in the 3 to 3.5 million gallons per day with land application. So there's some potential there. It doesn't look like proposing lagoons is going to work. You would still need to upgrade your treatment, your secondary treatment with aeration, and pursue a land application route with the state. So we meet with the state tomorrow. Among other questions, this will be one of the things we'll discuss, and whether that's favorable or allowed or possible to pursue. There are options that we haven't fully explored yet of where that property might be. Joe suggested that Judy Ward might be interested in a lease to use property that's adjacent to the treatment lagoons for that. Brett's also looked at using the sovereign lands down by the Great Salt Lake as an option to lease. So there are some things to go forward with when we meet with the state and see if this is going to be a viable option. You do get to save the cost of all that clay liner and fencing and security and everything where your lagoons would be part of your treatment system. If you go to land application, you're really talking about building dikes or leveling the surface simply to get volume and surface area rather than treatment and impermeability. So you save money there, but you have to put the money into your aeration and your secondary treatment to get that back up to snuff.
Is the state land on the other side of I-80?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's where our water currently resides when we discharge.
Does that create a problem getting the?
Well, that's what we're trying to find out tomorrow.
Yeah,
see if
maybe
to lease from state lands versus private.
Yeah.
And then, so in our current situation with our RIB is short for Rapid Infiltration Basin. The state doesn't really call it that anymore. They are still requiring us to test for ammonia, but they haven't given us a limit that we have to meet.
In the RIB?
In the RIB. So that's why Brennan is suggesting that we still might need to treat the ammonia. In my preliminary estimates, and we still might need to fence the land application. I think we may, based on this state. We'll find that out tomorrow. So really rough numbers, we're looking at maybe $15 million for the treatment that we're calling?
So there's the Lemna system. That treats for nutrient removal, and that's.
So that's some concrete basins, some media, some flocculant. There's lots of ongoing costs there. Preliminary numbers on 100-acre lagoon at a 2-foot cut was estimated, I believe it was around $1 million. Maybe, I've got to double check those numbers. Do you remember that email that I sent to you?
Yeah, I don't remember the number.
I was going to look at that now, but if we're talking originally like 800 acres, that would, you know, based on that number, we're still like $8 million or something like that. But there's still lots of unanswered questions. But this is kind of where we're at as we explore all of our options and alternatives before we make a final decision or recommendation.
But the Lemna system was on the order of, you know, $10 million.
Oh, it was only 10.
Plus up or down, maybe, probably not down, probably more, mostly up. 10 to 15 million for the Lemna system. For a mechanical plant, it's more like 27 to 39. So this is, you know, without knowing all of the requirements and details and everything, this, we haven't really cost estimated this to the degree we've looked at the other options, but this is has the potential to save some money if this is feasible.
So right now our current ammonia limit, we are exceeding our ammonia limit at the state right now. Phosphorus, we have
as it enters the rib. Or at the rib, or leaving
for
the
our
rib.
Discharge,
leaving the rib.
Leave. So, think of the rib as just basically an extra sewer pond, even though it's not technically a discharge when we're going to the rib. It's a discharge when it leaves our property.
But the rib's within the property.
So it's not technically a discharge.
Right.
So, but they are still.
It doesn't technically have a liner either. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But it doesn't technically have a liner either.
Right.
So that's where all the seepage really is taking place. That's my question. Because your lagoons most likely were built to that standard, and then the rib wouldn't have been because it wouldn't need to be.
Right.
So my question, Brandon, would be, shouldn't the seepage be calculated based off of the area that's actually allowing it to seep? Meaning that 38 acres and less is probably discharging at maybe a couple inches per day and not a quarter inch across the whole area. Is that a better assumption? Does that make sense? Because
well,
then you look at your whole area there and the 140 acres that are available, your seepage rate would be greater than looking at the tighter area.
What would be ideal is to run the ponds for 1 year without, run the ponds without the rib.
But can we?
We can. We'll just have to pay for testing that month and discharge.
But it's hard to separate them when they're not separate. So all I could do on the first pass is really get an aggregate.
Sure, but the
in and out.
And that makes sense to me. But the footprint of 200 something acres altogether, is that rate's going to be much slower than if you just looked at the 40 acres you're actually using in the rib, if I'm understanding that slide correctly,
yeah,
where you're showing the picture.
It's probably not that simple because you're only using the rib 4 months out of the year, and you're getting 38 acres of seepage compared to.
Well, so let me just, when you said that, when you say 4 months out of the year, it still has water in it. In those, it doesn't completely drain.
And that's another.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And that's another.
We just don't have the ability, because it's full, to put more water in.
And that's another complexity in how to cap. This is a very loose approximation.
Sure.
How to get the seepage rate calculated would be to run, and it wouldn't even have to be the whole year, but it would need to be probably during the summer months, is to run them and measure them and then calculate it to see.
But I guess it brings up the next question I have in my head. Do we have to have that tight a parameter for the seepage rate for the land drainage? Because all the treatment has taken place in the lagoons, and then everything beyond that in the 200 acres we need for 3.5 million gallons would be whatever that seepage rate is there on the, we don't have to tighten it up. We don't have to do a clay liner for it.
No.
So whatever it is, if it's 1 inch per hour, that's significantly higher than what you had, what the 7.5 times per day or whatever that says up there. I can't see it very well, but if we knew that number, that could potentially decrease the amount of land we would need to acquire as well, significantly.
Yeah. What? In addition to measuring the ponds, if we go forward with this, we need to select the land, the rib. We need to go take some perk tests and actually get real data for those, and then confirm or correct what that assumption is.
Yeah. Redirect a little bit, but it may not be as big as what it says right here.
When you did the rib, did you do any prep to the land to put water in there? I mean, like, you just raw land?
Theoretically, no.
Just pushed up the dike with the dozer.
Okay. The thing that you want to do, though, is make sure that you're above the groundwater elevation. So you don't want
to... Yeah. No, you want to have it perked.
You would have to step it or lift it and or pump to it or something, you know.
We can see the pan evaporation is not very good already. The 45 inches per year, almost 46 inches per year, is not great.
Right.
Because then we get 17 inches of water on top of that. So we're really only getting around a delta of 30 inches of evapotranspiration a year, which isn't great.
Yep. You either got to have a gigantic surface area or you got to have some seepage.
More sun.
The other thing I was thinking, Jake, regarding your comment is, I believe the state has tightened up their parameters over the years from 1970 to 2025. So I'm not sure that the seepage rate when...
It might not be as tight as that area, is what it says here in these parameters.
Yeah, because all, and I've been trying to tell the state that when the material's clay, right, it's Lake Bonneville clay, and nothing was done as far as importing bentonite or any type of a special clay. It was clay that was
what's on
site. We cut, build the dike, and that's the lagoons. But I believe now, as Brendan's saying, they pretty much
they clean that up,
line it, or you got to bentonite it to seal it up.
Right.
Yeah.
And tight.
Yeah, and you got to test it. Yeah, they want to see all that.
We can't
in situ test.
We couldn't prep 1,000 acres and try to do that clay liner and then do dikes and not use it either, because then vegetation would grow through it and would all be wasted. You've got to implement it.
We still have lots of questions. Hopefully we'll get some of them answered tomorrow, but probably not all of them.
But you wouldn't build it all at once anyway.
No, I'm saying it doesn't make sense to.
So I go back to my original comment that I was going to make, is that if the state can somehow relax on the ammonia limits, we can phase it, because we're not going to reach 2.7 for 25 years or more. And so if we can somehow get them to delay that, we can maybe phase it. But if they're going to somehow force us into it, we've got to just do it.
But if we never... I guess that's my underlying question with all of it, because we have to solve the nitrates and
we have to sell
sulfates.
The issue that we have right now is phosphorus, and that's not really an issue because our permit is 8,700 pounds per year, and our calculation was like 4,000 pounds this year. So, you know, we've got a little leeway on that, but our ammonia, we're not meeting that right now.
But if we were able to contain that within our and don't spill beyond the rib, we don't have an issue.
Right.
Correct?
Correct.
So if we're able to expand the rib going north, that solves the problem, correct? Because it gives us more surface area to allow it to, and then we don't discharge.
But we would need 200 to 300 more acres.
Only if we get to 2.7 million gallons. So
no, right now.
Right now.
So we're not discharging. We would need another couple hundred acres if we could. If the state We just need how the state's going to...
Can we solve it right now without doing anything mechanical?
No.
With a little bit of acreage and changing some fences around?
I think it's 200 plus more acres, according to what I saw there.
Yeah, it's 100 acres to get to 2.7 million gallons a day.
But we're not even close to that.
I know, yeah.
So it's not 200 acres.
To upgrade the two, if you're, I'm just giving you a picture to upgrade your treatment system. You'll have to add aeration. You'll have to upgrade your motors and your head work stage. So as a package for your impact feeding analysis, you want the whole cost. Even if you phase it, you still want to know the whole cost now, so that you are.
So we can collect the impact fees for it appropriately. Yeah, I get that. Solve the problem by fall. Could we put up a fence and expand the boundary while we're collecting impact fees to then add the aeration and the new headworks? Does my question make sense?
Yeah,
What you're saying is we got to get 2.7. Understood.
Yeah, but right
but
now.
Right now we're at 1.3 or something like that, and we have an ammonia issue. Could we solve that by expanding the boundary and the rib by 50 acres or 100 acres and changing the fence and making the rib bigger?
While
we collect impact fees to do the other stuff that we need to...
in your property,
Now,
is that cost effective? I'm just asking questions.
I think we're all on the same page. There are, however, restrictions that, for instance, we can't be within a mile of a freshwater well. That has good water quality. Judy has a well probably within a mile on her property.
It's less than a mile, but
it's flowing water, so we'll need to take a water quality out of that to see if it's less than 1,000 TDS.
I'm just going to take out a lagoon.
Seems like you're a lie.
So I guess my point is that there are lots of unknowns right now. So lots of unanswered questions pursuing this route. It's one that we need to look at. So,
I'm just wondering if it wouldn't be prudent to be doing both simultaneously. We need to get the impact fees so we can expand our system anyway to get 2.7.
Yeah.
But to solve the short-term problem of the ammonium.
But again.
Or is the plan in place enough, Brett, for the state to go, okay, you're going to collect impact fees for 7 years? Are they going to make us fix it right now? That's what I'm worried about.
And the reality is that impact fees are only a small portion of this upgrade because it's existing ratepayers, and that's one of the reasons why we need to increase rates. Because
it's a system as it is right now with the new regulation, so we got to follow it.
Yes.
But if you don't do nutrient removal, then the ratepayers... don't need to be included in that. The expansion is a lot lower cost, and it is fully the responsibility of future development because they'll drive the expansion. So there's that nuance.
Say that again.
If you don't have the nutrient removal, phosphorus and ammonia by doing land application, then the ratepayers do not need to participate in that, in the cost of the upgrade.
Okay, so then it would be 100%.
It would be 100% impact fee growth driven at that point, yes.
Does that change the rate study?
It will definitely change the rate. The rate study and the rate you adopt. What's that?
And the impact fee, because then it would be back
all
on
of it,
the,
yeah.
Yeah, all yeah. Through, all of them will change.
Yeah. The impact fee, I suppose you could head down a direction and worst case scenario, get an impact fee in place, and then a year from now you could recalibrate and lower the impact fee and head down this less defined route. But I don't know. I think in the next month or so, hopefully we will have some warm fuzzies or not on this assumption. Don't you think we'll be able to get, we're either going to get a real cold reception from the state or we'll know if they're going to work with us on this, I think, after our meeting tomorrow.
Is that meeting here or is it you go in and meet with them there?
It's on Zoom.
On Zoom.
Yeah, I mean, if they say state lands, you can work it out with them. Seems like there's plenty of acreage. We could fence it. They're like $20 to $30 a year lease per acre. And that would be the easiest, best scenario, but I highly doubt they'll let us go that route.
Yeah.
But that would be the best case scenario. Any other questions on that?
How close is Lake Point to having to do something with their stuff?
You know?
They're close, but I don't know. They have a different approach for things. I think they're the most, they're not on the same permit schedule that you are, so they're probably a permit behind you. They'll probably, things will become critical for them in the coming year or two, but their disinfection system is what is they need to get addressed sooner than later. So they are close. They're coming up on the same nutrient removal issue that you are struggling with right now.
Okay. Anything else on item number 3? Item number 4, Ochre Point Improvement District Sewer Discussion and Interlocal Agreement Alternatives.
So we've been working with Joe and Daryl, and we've been working a lot on trying to figure out this total containment with lagoons. They provided a temporary service agreement on Friday as I was heading out of town, and both a temporary and a permanent, and I forwarded those to you. But I haven't had a chance to go through it. Brent hasn't had a chance to go through it. So with that said, that's where we're at.
So we want to piggyback on Brandon's presentation. We want to be part of the solution, which I think we can. We do have a temporary agreement in place, which the problem is with our buyers, it doesn't give much, it's not a warm fuzzy at all, because while I have a relationship and work well with SPID, they don't even know who SPID is, to be honest with you, right? So when we say SPID's agreement had a bunch of off-ramps, and the concern was if we got 300 connections on and all of a sudden SPID wanted to put, Lennar called it the Costco effect. Let's say, because once we built something and now Costco wants to go on and you're like, they reserve the rights, now we got to take that from OPID or from ours, and then they could essentially cut us off. And that's what it was. So we provided a temporary and a permanent. The existing agreement we have right now contemplates that we would pay a fee. So you're right now, your service fee per sewer is $17 a month, $51 a quarter, I think is what it is. And then the treatment side of that, we didn't delineate out. But if we just took the full service of $17 a month times the $938 that we have reserved, it came to like $3,000 a month that we were paying SPID to reserve those connections. And that would go away, right, if for some reason we got to 400 units and SPID said we're not going to do it anymore, then of course that would go away. But what I would like to do is limit or reduce the reasons why the temporary agreement could go away, meaning if the state comes in and says you can't take anymore because of this, then I see that opportunity. Or see that as a problem. But what we'd like to do is say, all right, to give SPID, more assurance, we'll prepay 5 years of that temporary connection. So it's $3 and what's 20% of 17? My Mr. Call math isn't...
$3.40.
Yeah, $3.40. We'll prepay it for 5 years. It's a couple $100,000 we'll pay up front for that, just to reserve our capacity. There's some things we're trying to solve. We're trying to solve IHC's problem. They want to put a hospital there. The school has some issues that they'd like to get off their septic tank, some things like that. What I'm looking for is an agreement that just has less holes in it, like a little bit more security for us in the long run, which I think we can provide. I think we can provide the extra ground necessary. And I wasn't quite sure, I didn't understand the difference between a lagoon, the tight knit, and then the land application. It sounds like the rib is the land application right now.
Yep.
Okay. And so you're just put it out there, it percolates into the ground or evaporates. And then, it doesn't really matter how deep they are, because the 3 feet seems to be the offset. So if you did 4 or 5 feet deep, it doesn't really matter.
3 feet's the minimum operating depth that the state allows on a lagoon.
But you can go 4 feet, but it doesn't change. The metrics doesn't really change it at all. Okay.
I'm trying to get surface area to get it to evaporate
you want to avoid in a lagoon a lot of plant growth and things underneath. So there's a minimum depth they like, just for that reason. But then you need to make sure that your fluctuation, your depth in your ponds is
consistent,
is deep enough to fluctuate every year, right? So depth, volume, depth really doesn't have a function other than it just has to be able to be deep enough to move up and down and meet the minimum of the state.
So the second permanent would be, we'll provide $2 million and set the impact fee. And I think we can provide to you the benefit of getting to $2.7 million cheaper, that it'll be, it's a business decision for the board, right? The way I think I can work it is, I'll give you $1.5 million within 60 days of signing the agreement, another $500,000 at our 600 connection. So that's $2 million total. And then let's say for this purpose, this meeting, we're paying $2,000 impact fee for sewer on 600. That's another $3 million. So we had contributed $5 million to your guys's to solve the problem. And we may only use half that capacity. So you'll have 3,000 extra, you know, at least 2,000 extra connections to solve your problem. And that way, we only have one system. I've talked to Morton Salt, I've talked to Judy. There's no reason why we can't do the extra 300 acres real close. And I told Brett I wouldn't talk to the state. He was gonna talk to them about that. But I think, I mean, Morton Salt has the property right as, you guys discharge under, is it Mountain View? No, under the freeway. I-80, they have 260 acres there. Judy has, I mean, we've talked about that. Anyway, I think there's ways we can solve that problem. My immediate problem is my buyers want to close, and we want them to close. So I need to just tighten some things up as far as the agreement goes, with less off-ramps for SPID, and we can be, I really think we can be a majority of the solution rather than putting it on the ratepayers or other people coming in. Like, we're here, we want to give you money now. And I think the million up front would pay for a lot of that, at least a lot of the engineering and everything up front to do that. So I think we can, like I said, I think we can help solve it. We can, we're able to pay money now and make it work, and not only that, but the resources, the manpower to do it, to go, because Brett's limited, right? He can only do so many things, but we can help him go get property, or if we need to, we can eminent domain something for him, if we have to, and make it work. So, and it, I mean, I think we'll more than pay our way. It'll be a bit cost plus benefit to the district.
How long do you think it'll take to get the 600 units?
Right now, I think you're three to four years.
Four minimum.
Yeah, probably four. They're not going to go. I mean, Brandon, we did. We kind of sat down and did the exercise together about what the real true growth rate is. 3.1% was Twillis at a fast pace. So I don't. It'll be a while before we even get to that. But
I think even on some of the busiest years here, we're about 130, 150, the highest amount of homes, right?
Yeah, on average.
So.
I think our biggest year was 175-ish.
So the email that you sent to Brett with the agreements in there, did that were they with how you kind of want the wording changed?
Yeah, that had a permanent, and it had a red line on permanent and temporary. And I wouldn't even mind doing a combination. Like if we say, all right, we're going to do a temporary because we really don't know what the outcome is. We'll do a temporary with a $200,000 payment. And then in 3 or 4 months when we have a solution, when we have thing, if we want to turn over and make it permanent, we can pay the difference and make it work. I'm open, and we want to, like I said, we're not asking for a handout. I think we can help solve a lot of the problem. If it's a $10 million lift, you can look at it that way too. I'm willing to go, all right, if you take our $1.5 million now, and let's say it's $12 million, and we'll pay half the fee. We can set it up that way too, so that it's not, I mean, if that's, we can look at it several ways. I just need to take some of the unknowns out.
Is that how something you guys can look at when? I mean, as far as the agreement goes, I think at some point, I don't know when it is, years down the road, but the growth's going to come, and like I know that we don't have to be the reason to solve it, but Lake Point's going to be stressed out for too long. Ours is. And so if there's a way to solve that together, it makes a lot more sense to me. And I don't know if that, right now, Lake Point's not included in this conversation, obviously, but, you know, it still brings it to that point that the population's coming here and we're either part of the solution or we're just out of it, right? So.
Just need to do what's best for Stansbury residents. If it means working with these guys and covering a good portion of this, of the fees, then I think that's something we need to look at. But we can have some more discussion and try to figure out kind of what's going to work best. So
I think the residents will be appreciative of not having to have another massive increase to cover, yeah, you know, costs, you know what I mean?
Yep. I would agree.
Okay. Yeah. So where to now? What's give you and Rose a chance to read?
Yeah, we can try to have sit downs with Joe and have legal review and try to understand more fully. I think we need to have some of these questions answered from the state first.
Tomorrow,
for sure.
Yeah.
To see what direction we can go.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it may unveil more questions, but at least it's a lot better than what we have to go on right now, which is hardly anything.
You'll know a lot more tomorrow after this discussion with
we're
the state.
We're all
Yeah, hopefully.
So once we have that, we'll be able to move forward in a better light. On top of that, not my only other concern, but the one concern that we do have is that if we end up providing permanent service, everybody is still going to be coming to Stansbury to try and connect onto that line that doesn't have capacity. No matter what. Where if they do their own system, then any future discussion is with IRTA and everybody else, and we're out of it. So that's the one offtake from doing this, because the line's only sized to serve a certain amount of people,
yeah,
and it's their development.
It's easy for me to say, oh, we don't have any capacity for you. We tried, and IRTA said no. That's easy for me. on that.
We tried to get them to pay the difference.
We tried to get them to help participate in looking at different, we talked about master planning, we talked about everything with IRTA, and they just said, nope, we don't want anything to do with it. And so from our standpoint, our development, and this is where it gets to the numbers, Robert Rizal, I think is his last name, he did our water study, and for our entire development, we're about 480,000 gallons a day at peak. And we could do a lagoon system with 100 acres, it's real easy. We could put it in, and we could probably self-contain it on 200 acres. We can go do that. The difference is it takes you 9 months to get your system approved by the state. It takes you another year to build it, things like that. So the temporary, I'm fine with the temporary if that's the route we want to go. And I'll pay the money up front for the reservation to make sure we have that fee. And then I'll go to work in my own system. I think it's silly because we'll be right next to each other. I think it's silly to have two working together. But I'm fine with either, really. So we're not making that much of an impact. You got to go to 2.7 million gallons anyway, and if we're a small portion of that, you can use the benefit financially. And it's money up front right now to look at all these things. And so we'd like to, pay that way. But
when do you need your final?
The sooner the better. We're trying to close somewhere like March 15th, and this is the last kind of thing that's holding us up, is that, and we could do it, like I said, we could do it with a temporary, just if we had a temporary that had 938 connections, and you have to start building your own within 2 years, filing, so be it, but I would rather it be more of a permanent. Yeah, redundant. We'd have to have our own plant supervisor, our own testing, our own.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a redundant cost that I don't think we need. But I think we can, with tomorrow's meeting and some things, we can work that out pretty easy. We just took the agreement we have. All we did is take out some of the off ramps that said, you can cut off service for anything and things like that. That our buyers will, hey, if we build 400 and we only get 408, but we've paid you for 900, or they'd only pay us for 700, but, right? So that's their problem. And I recognize it from their end. I don't know that anyone would come in and do that, but we want to be part of the solution. If you give Brett permission for Brent to, sit through and go through that agreement and get it just a little bit cleaned up and tightened up, and then we can, move forward with either we're part of the permanent solution or not, but at least I can get going.
Yeah.
And I'll pay my way. We'll pay our way.
You good with that, Brett?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks, Gerald. Right. Thanks, Gerald.
Thank you much.
Yeah. Okay, that's on here. All right, item number 5. Consider an approved solution or resolution 2024-2 annexing certain real property of Michael R. Jensen and Carol A. Jensen into the boundaries of Stansbury Park Improvement District boundaries. Anything different on that from when we last talked about it and bringing it in?
Nope. We've gone through all of the due diligence. Brent's approved everything. Had the board approve it.
Entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2024-2 annexing certain real property of Michael J. Jensen and Carol A. Jensen to the boundaries of Stansbury Park Improvement District.
Do I have a second?
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes. Let's see, number 6 looks like the same exact thing.
No, it's not.
Isn't it? Consider and approve resolution 2025-2A certifying the petition for the annexation and giving of notice thereof for Michael R. Jensen and Carol A. Jensen property. Anything we need to be aware of on that?
Nope.
I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve the consider and approve resolution 2025-2A certifying petition for annexation and the giving of notice thereof for Michael Jensen and Carol A. Jensen property.
Second?
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Manager operational report.
Let's see, I don't have anything to add to that unless any of you have any questions.
Like a fun leakage.
Yeah, they're proposing to start possibly tomorrow or Friday. They, one of the calls I just received was the state park, so I asked him to give me a heads up on when they were going to start. So hopefully by tomorrow they'll be starting, but if not tomorrow, I think Friday they said was the next availability day that they're going to start. So.
Any questions for Brett on any of his report? Need to approve the minutes for the January 21st, 2025 meeting.
Yeah, I didn't have any issues with it. I'll make a motion to approve the meeting minutes of January 21st, 2025.
Second?
I second that.
In favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Approve financials and warrants. Looks like we jumped up a little bit from our $48,000 a couple days ago, but our health insurance bill popped in here, so that's a big chunk of it. I didn't see anything else in there that didn't seem consistent with the raise in the price, so.
Yep. I motion to approve the financials and warrants dated February 18th, 2025. A total of $76,303.65.
I second that.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All right. Petitions and communication. Anything that we need to be aware of, Brett?
Yes. One of the bills that this year that the Senate is looking at is House Bill 274. It's water amendments. There are a couple things that if the bill passes, we may need to look at. One of them is that out-of-district water user rates and in-district water user rates need to be the same unless there is a compelling reason that there should be a difference.
Compelling reason is they're out of our district.
the other item to note is that all out-of-district contracts that were provided, all water service that are outside of our district boundaries needs to be served through a contract. And on an annual basis, we are supposed to report to the state on the condition of those contracts, if people have been taken off or removed, language to that effect. I'm not explaining it very good without finding the code in here to read it directly, but those are basically the two things that stood out to me.
Who do we serve that's out of our area?
Weed. There's probably all of the Lake Point, anybody in Lake Point?
So Saltaire.
Saltaire, all of probably 10 to 12 customers in Lake Point.
What about the handful of houses over by Wells 1 and 2?
Yep,
those would be outside the district too, right?
Yeah, there's two or three homes over there.
Are they in a different rate than everybody else? I thought we had them as there are.
Out of district water rate, yes.
So they're following the same rate as they're getting charged like if they were in boundary.
No.
So they will. They will have to.
Get well, if this
passes,
yeah. Oh. So, you know, that may have some effect on our new rates.
Okay.
So we'll have to cross that bridge when we come to it.
Okay.
And then we might have to have a contract drawn up for all those properties.
So we do have.
I thought we had one.
We have contracts on all of the Lake Point people. I'm not sure the onesie twosie homes by our wells, we necessarily have a contract, so I'm going to have to look into that.
Seems like the contract is pay your bill or we're shutting it off.
Yeah.
That seems pretty straightforward.
I mean, technically our water and sewer application is, they're agreeing to terms and service conditions. I guess that's...
Is that enough?
Maybe. I don't think that that's what they're referring to. I think it's a separate document in addition to the water application. So other than that, I don't have any communications.
Yeah. Anything else you guys want to discuss? Okay, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Let's look at that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned at 5:01 p.m.